Bhagavad Gita, Anarima Dhyantam Anantavirjam Anantabahum Shashisurya Netram Pashyami Tvam Deepta Hutasha Vaktram Svatejasa Vishvam Idam Tapantam. This is a part of prayer offered by Arjuna to Lord Krishna in his Vishwarup, his universal form. Arjuna asked to see the universal form of the Lord, and Lord Krishna said it's not possible. Lord Krishna said, yes, I can show you the universal form, but you can't see it with your ordinary eyes. So divyam dadami te chakshu, I'll give you divine eyes, spiritual eyes, so that you can see this universal form. Then, seeing the form, it became quite frightening, terrible and frightening. And Arjuna's bhav, his mood, changed. His natural mood of relationship with Krishna is one of friendship. Krishna is known as Krishna Sakha. Krishna is another name of Arjuna. So Krishna Sakha, hey Krishna, Krishna Sakha. Krishna is known as the friend of Arjuna. They're intimate friends. But seeing the universal form, the friendly mood, when Arjuna saw the universal form, the friendly mood was overwhelmed by this awe and fear also, ghastliness also, but especially fear. Very frightening to see the universal form. So here Arjuna is describing what he sees, partly describing. Anadi madhyantam anantavirjam. Anadi. There's no beginning to the form. Wherever you look, there's no adi, there's no antam, there's no madhyam, there's no beginning, no middle, no end. You can't see where the universal form starts and ends. It's everywhere. Of course, Krishna also. This is Krishna. You can't localize him, pin him down to some location in this material world. If we're in Dubai, we're not in Madras. If we're in Madras, we're not in Dubai. But Krishna, especially, Krishna, not especially, Krishna is everywhere. He's present everywhere. And therefore, no one can say, here's the beginning, here's the end, here's the middle. And especially this universal form, Arjuna was told, now you'll see the entire universe in one place. The universe is so extensive, it goes on and on and on. But somehow, it was all manifest right there before Arjuna as he stood on the chariot. So he couldn't see that here's the beginning, here's the middle, here's the end. Anadi madhyantam anantavirjam. Because Krishna has unlimited potency. He has unlimited potency. Virya means potency. In Bhagavad Gita also he says, what is that? Aham bija pradapita tasam mahad tasmat brahma mahadyoni or aham bija pradapita. Krishna is the father of all living beings. And to create pregnancy in material nature is the mother nature. And the Lord is the bija prada, Pita. He's the seed-giving father. But to impregnate the material nature, he doesn't need to do more than simply glance at material nature. Sa aikshata, sa srijjata. It's said that he simply glanced over material nature and created activity or impregnated material nature. Material nature on its own doesn't do anything. Just like this amplifier. It doesn't do anything until it's touched by a person. When a person comes and touches the amplifier, then it does something. It creates echoes, it creates volume, it mixes, it matches, it does whatever it's supposed to do by the touch of the operator. Well, this is the nature of matter. Matter works when impelled by spirit. All these big buildings are going up all over Dubai because there's some personal touch. It's not that the bricks have decided to assemble themselves or that the cranes thought it would be a good idea to go to a particular location and start raising girders. But under the direction of spirit, although the spirit is very tiny, 1/10,000th the tip of a hair, but that little spark of spirit does so much. Some have more potency, some less. Some little worker has the power to sweep up some dust, and some big man has the power to command industries or countries or armies. They have different degrees of potency manifest. Actually, they all have the same potency, but it's covered or uncovered to a particular extent. Just like the demigods. The demigods are really like us. As we're little sparks of spiritual energy, they're little sparks of spiritual energy. Indra, Chandra, Lord Brahma, they're all jivas. Little sparks of living force. But on account of previous activities, they've received a particular type of body so that Brahma can create the whole universe, or act as the engineer of the whole universe, and we can do a little something in our corner. But he's a living being, we're a living being. Only his power is more manifest. So we have some power. We can also become the fathers of one or two or three or four or five children. But Krishna is anantavirya. He has unlimited potency. So he creates pregnancy in the material nature, and material nature gives birth to so many living beings. And the pregnancy is created just by glancing. This is Krishna. Anantavirya. When he was living at Dwarka, he had 16,108 wives. And by each wife, he had 10 sons. Anantavirya, unlimited potency. This is Krishna. Anantavirya. And? Virya also means heroism. This virya, actually with the Latin word for man, is vir. We can trace it to the Sanskrit. Virile. Our English word, Sanskrit, sometimes considered the mother of all languages. So we can trace this word back. Anyway, to be heroic, so Krishna is the most heroic person. To all of his pastimes, to defeat Indra, he's lifting the Govardhan Hill and protecting the Rajvasis. To defeat Hiranyakashipu, he's appearing as Nrisimhadev. He has so many heroic. You can't find a greater hero than Krishna. Sometimes, you can't find a greater hero they're worshipping some foolish fictional hero, you know, Superman. Superman is nothing. He's nothing. Apart from being fictional, what can he do? And anyway, if there's kryptonite, then he's in trouble, right? That's Superman. But Krishna has no, he's achuta, he's infallible, he has no weak spot. Karna was so powerful, but he had weak spot. Therefore, he could be killed. That Dhritarashtra also, he was so powerful, Gandhari made him, his body like iron by her glance, but there was a weak spot, so he was killed by, he was defeated, his legs were crushed by Bhima. But Krishna is infallible, there's no weakness anywhere in Krishna. He's unlimitedly potent. And Anantabahu, in the form, in the universal form, Krishna manifested unlimited arms. That was mentioned earlier. Later. Rupam mahate bahuvatra netram mahabaho bahu bahurupadam bahuduram bahudam stra karalam trishtva loka pravyatitastataham. Unlimited heads, unlimited arms, unlimited legs. This is the universal form. Every direction something is there. Apart from that, Srila Prabhupada explains that the living entities are all parts and parcels of Krishna. So the arms and legs of the living beings are also Krishna's arms and legs. I'm thinking this is my arm. But actually it's not my arm. Why do I say it's mine? I don't have full control over it. It's controlled actually by some demigods who are controlled by Krishna. At the end, I'll say it's my arm, but the fire will say, no, it's my arm. I'm taking it back. Or it goes back to the earth. Or the government comes and says, no, this is my arm. This body belongs to me. You've taken birth in our country, so your body is ours. We're sending you to such and such place to fight. Or they'll say, no, it's mine. Or the parents say, no, we're your parents, so your body belongs to us. Or we take a job and the employer says, no, your body belongs to me. I purchased it. So we're claiming that it's my body, but so many other people are also laying claim to it. The parents are saying it's theirs, the employer, the government, at the end, the earth or the fire, they're all claiming it's mine. Or maybe some jackals fight over it at the end. It's mine. No, it's mine. Anyway, although I'm thinking it's mine, it actually belongs to Krishna. Krishna is the final owner of everything. So this body belongs to Krishna. So all the arms and legs, all of the senses of all the living beings are Krishna's. But we're thinking this is mine and we're using it for some other purpose. I'm thinking my body, it belongs to me, I can do what I like. Or the employer thinks these are my men. Or the army thinks these are my men. And they'll use it for their own purposes. But actually, my body or whatever bodies appear to be within my control are all meant to be engaged in the service of Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. This is bhakti. This is devotional service. If the body belongs to Krishna, the body should be used in the service of Krishna. Just the parents are saying, oh, this body is ours. That means why? Then you should serve us. We need your help this way or that way. Or the government says, the body is ours. So we want you to do this. Serve us. Serve our cause. But finally, the body belongs to Krishna. So the body should be used in the service of Krishna. by engaging my body in this, so many other forms of service, finally those who I'm serving are not fully satisfied, and I'm not fully satisfied. And even if someone is fully satisfied, they're fully satisfied for 5 minutes, that's all. 5 minutes, 5 days, whatever. But it will be finished. Then I have to take another body with another set of senses. But when I engage my senses in the service of the master of the senses themselves become spiritualized. That means they're engaged for a spiritual cause. And my spiritual, underlying spiritual senses are uncovered. My eternal senses. The living entity is not senseless or impersonal. He had, come on, Rita Prabhu. Those of you who don't know Rita Prabhu, he's one of Srila Prabhupada's senior disciples, and he's a pioneer of the preaching in South Africa, which is now a big yatra, which when he first went there was just a, what would you say, an empty field as far as Krishna consciousness goes. There was nothing there. Now he's staying in England. Come on, Rita Prabhu. He has his sons also, especially his son Gopal has become a famous man for his part as the main mridanga player in the 24-hour kirtan in Vrindavan Dham. Now he's in Mayapur, huh?
Studying Bhakti.
Yeah, studying Bhakti Shastri in Mayapur. So we're very fortunate that he's come and spending a little time here in Dubai. Or, from another consideration, the hands and legs belong to the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. So, Haribol. Rita Prabhu ki jai.
Jai Dvaita Maharaj ki.
So Rita Prabhu is one of the right-arm men of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, of course, he could have done everything alone, but Krishna sent him some men to act as arms and legs, just like some big businessman. Actually, he's doing everything, but he has some arms and legs in the form of some hired servants, some assistants. He hires some men to run around for him. He's the one with the ideas. He's the entrepreneur. And he hires some arms and legs. So of course Prabhupada said that I'm a poor man. I'm not paying them. But he got some arms and legs who volunteered to be of service. So when we engage our senses under the direction of the spiritual master, then that's the perfection of the senses. And then we accomplish the best things. The spiritual master says, you do this, you do this, you do this. Then our senses get perfectly engaged. Perfectly engaged. There means, just as Krishna is engaging the senses of Arjuna. My dear Arjuna, Mahabaho, you've got mighty arms. Mahabhava. So use those arms for fighting. You're not meant for shrinking away from the battlefield. You should fight, but not for your own purpose. You should fight under my direction. Use your senses for the satisfaction of my senses. Ananta Bahu and Shashi Surya Netra. Shashi Surya Netra means the person whose eyes, who has the sun and moon as his eyes. Krishna in the universal form was appearing that way. Arjuna was seeing one eye is the sun, another eye is the moon. We're thinking the sun and moon are such huge, great heavenly bodies. But they're like, you know, how big is your eye? They're like the eyes of the universal form. one of our acharyas, it's either Baladeva Vidyabhushan or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, comments that with the sun is very burning. So with the eye of the sun, the Lord is burning the demons. He's giving heat. You know, he's putting the demons into heat. And with the eye of the moon, he's cooling the devotees. Shushitala. The moon is very cooling. After the hot day here in Dubai, in the evening the moon comes out and people go and stroll in some nice cool place, enjoy the nice cool atmosphere. They go on the boats on the creek or something like that, enjoying the atmosphere in the moonlight. So the Krishna's eye as the moon is offering cool relief to the devotees, and for the demons he's turning up the heat. Sashi Surya Netram Pashamitam Deepta Hutasha Vaktram. And fire is coming out of the Lord's mouths, and we'll find later in the chapter that the warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are rushing into that fire. They're rushing into that fire. The Lord, in the form of time, devours everyone. So Arjuna was able, he was thinking, such formidable warriors. But all of those great warriors were rushing into the mouths of the universal form, the way moths rush into a flame, rush to their deaths. Everyone's in a hurry, but where are we going? We're all headed toward that fire. We're all headed toward destruction from the all-devouring mouth of the universal form. The universe is set up that way. Why is the universe not so constructed that everything gets newer and newer? Say you buy something, a microphone, an amplifier, a tape recorder. So it's never as good as it is on the first day. After a few months, it's banged up. After 6 months, it's a mess. Usually after a year or 2 years, it's junk. Right? Your car, same thing, your mobile, whatever it is. It starts off fresh and new and gradually starts to deteriorate, get banged up, and finally become useless. And this body is also like that. It starts off not very useful for anything except crying and passing school. But it gradually grows, and then I'm growing, and becoming strong and capable. But then there's the other side of the curve, and the body begins to deteriorate. It begins to literally fall apart. The features don't work, you know, like on your car, the air conditioning cuts out, or the brakes don't work anymore the way they're supposed to, or the little pieces of plastic start to fall off, or all of those things that happen to cars. So the body, that starts to happen. Somebody has a liver problem, and someone broke a bone, and someone's got a lung infection, and this and that and the other thing. The body starts to literally fall apart. And the older it gets, the harder it is to repair, like other machines. You know, the new machine, you can at least put something on it and fix it. And after a while, it's broken in so many places, there's nothing you can do except chunk it. And that's the way this body goes. It's not going to last and last. We have all these fix-it people in the form of doctors or what have you. But the body is finally meant for destruction. We might ask ourselves, why is the material world not constructed in such a way that everything just lasts and lasts? Or so that it gets better? Why is the first day the best? Why shouldn't it get better and better and better? But the material world is constructed in such a way that everything You may get better for a little while, but then finally, it's finished. Some even empires, you know, the Roman Empire, the British Empire, the American Empire is next. They all grow and grow. Yes, it is. They all grow and grow, and then they start to have problems and more problems and more problems, and finally someone else comes and says, what do we care about these guys? And knocks them out of their place. So that's the nature of the material world. It's set up in such a way that nothing will last. Such a place. It's set up in such a way that nothing lasts. And we're set up in such a way that we want to make it last. That we want to persist. We want to stay. But we can't stay. That's the nature of the world. And the materialist is in great anxiety about this because he wants to stay. He doesn't know where he's going next. Probably not someplace not so good. Or at least unknown. But he wants to stay. However much he's suffering, he wants to stay. And the Krishna conscious person, he knows what is what. He knows where this world is. He knows what the rules are for transfer to the next body. And he knows that I have to go. Why fight? There's a saying in America, why fight City Hall? You can't fight City Hall. It means the government. You can't fight the government. The government is the government. And who are we? The government is the law. You can't fight the law. But it's the law of the material world. Everything falls apart. So the Krishna conscious person Nayanam Shochitamara. So he doesn't think, oh, everything falls apart. Oh. He's not lamenting. All right. It falls apart. It doesn't mean I fall apart because I'm not this body. Nahangyate hangyamane shuride. I don't fall apart. I can't make anyone else fall apart. I can't keep anyone from falling apart. I just have to see. The body is one thing. The body always falls apart. The soul never does. As soon as I identify myself with the spiritual soul, then Vaikuntha, no more anxiety. No more anxiety. Brahmabhuta prasannatma nashochati nakamshati. Sarva sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate pranam. In that situation, the self-realized person thinks, well, what else should I do? I should serve Krishna. That's my real business. He sees all living beings equally. He sees there's nothing to hanker for in the material world and nothing to lament about either. There's nothing I need that I have to hanker for and nothing I need that I have to lament about. My business is to engage in devotional service to Krishna. That's my eternal function. So tejasa vishvamidam tapantam. By your own effulgence, Arjuna said, you are burning up the whole material world. Svatejasa, by your own power. So the this form Arjuna was shown by the Lord at his request, at Arjuna's request. But finally at the end, enough, I've seen the universal form, thank you very much. Now please, my mind is so disturbed. Could you please again show your Soumya Bapu? Soumya Bapu means your very nice form as Krishna. Such a friendly form, such a beautiful and attractive form. Please show me your original form again. Because Arjuna's relationship is a loving relationship with that original form of Krishna. So we have a choice. Finally, at the end, we can meet Krishna as the universal form and get burned up. Or we can meet Krishna as the all-attractive personality of Godhead. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for that. For cooperating with Krishna in devotional service and making our life successful in a loving relationship with the Lord. Thank you all very much. And we'll ask Rita Prabhu to speak something about Krishna consciousness, and then we can take some questions.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasnaya Buddhaya. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachaline Nevasesha Sinjivari Paskutati Siddhanya. Om Ikyana Timuranja Sadhan Anjana Svakaya Chaksumani Tamiyana Tasmai Sigurve Namah. So you're all very fortunate to have the association, continued association of His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj, who so nicely explains the teachings of Srila Prabhupada through Bhagavad Gita as it is, and who is a wonderful example of present day ISKCON leader, perfect example of an ISKCON leader. And without his association, where would we be? We would be in great difficulty to understand the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. And like Maharaj was saying, that if we want to go down the road of thinking everything is rosy in the material world, and then we can just tick over and just roll it over year by year, year by year, something will be beneficial at the end of that, we'll get some money, we will get some prosperity, things will be better at the end of the line, then I'm sorry, but things are not really like that. And we will unfortunately see Krishna's death instead, like the universal form will devour all the living entities that were on that battlefield. So fortunately for us, we have the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Just a few days ago, actually, I was in the hospital in Johannesburg, and my wife's brother was having a kind of a bypass operation, so I went there. But at the corner of my eye, in this private, very expensive private hospital, I saw Krishna. It just caught me. I just saw him in the corner, and there was an old man. Very old man, having also a bypass operation. But he had this Bhagavad Gita, like this. And I think it was, I can't remember, it might have been Divine Life or something. But I just saw the picture of Krishna, that's all that caught my eye. I just saw that peacock feather, and I saw that form of the Lord. That caught my attention, more so than the patient I was coming to see. Because he was thinking, the patient was thinking, oh, now I don't have to have open heart surgery. I can just, they've got so much technology to fix me up. And he was smiling. He was only in the hospital one night, and he said, it's too expensive for me to stay another night because they charge so much in these private hospitals. And he was laughing, thinking, I'll go home tomorrow. Because they didn't even open me up. They just did it through some kind of spring or balloon or whatever. They have such technology these days. So this is called making amends to your spiritual, your material well-being, and prolonging your life so that you can have prolonged material enjoyment. Now I just wonder, that person that was having the heart operation, that was laughing like that, did he ever pray to God? Did he ever think that, look, actually my life is coming to an end and maybe I should get serious about it? Probably not. The other man in the corner, who was reading the Bhagavad Gita, he told me, I went up to him actually, and I approached him, a complete stranger. And he said, I'm so thankful to Lord Krishna. I'm so thankful that he's given me this knowledge, that even he's prolonging my life. Because actually at the end of the day, Krishna is the cause of all causes. Not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. However, we shouldn't use Krishna as a facility for our material well-being, but we should rather develop love of Krishna, which is more powerful, because that's the single most thing that when Krishna was getting tied up with ropes of love in his family house, that was the thing he allowed Mother Yasoda to see who he really was. So that's the only thing that's really powerful, and the thing that Krishna recognizes is our devotion to him. That's more potent. Of course, studying these books, hearing from saintly persons, reading Prabhupada's books in particular, these are the things that will save us from the jaws of death. And the other thing, of course, is now that you've been getting the association of Maharaj and so many other ISKCON leaders here on a regular basis, and that you've become familiarized with the philosophy over a long period of time, not only is it your duty to act on that knowledge, but also to protect and give that knowledge to your children, so that if you are a married person and you have children, or you're intending to have children, then you should know that our future rests with the youth and our children, and the way in which we give them the facilities to become ISKCONized, or give them the facility to become preachers in their future lives. Because when we're moved on, when we're out of this world, then everything rests on the youth, your children. So many times in the last year or so, we've seen so many great ISKCON leaders that have moved on. To name a few, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who was preaching in the Gulf many times. He risked his life in so many different countries. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Unfortunately, we could never bring him here. We tried to invite him so many times, but he was so busy in other parts of the world. And every year it seems that one ISKCON leader is being reclaimed by the spiritual master and going on. So time will come. It's very limited. Time is not eternal here. Krishna is time. Time I am, he says in Bhagavad Gita. And those of you are have come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement, it's not by accident. It's not by some chance that you are helping push on the movement here. Somehow or another, in your previous birth, you must have been in association with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, it is up to you also to imbibe this philosophy and become also familiarized, and eventually you will be called upon to spread this movement wherever you may be. So understanding the Bhagavad Gita is very, very important, and also distributing these books and distributing this knowledge and sharing it amongst yourselves is ahimsa, non-violence. By preventing people from receiving this knowledge is a type of punishment. You have this knowledge, share it. Share it with others, they will benefit. In the form of a book, in the form of association, in so many different ways you can actually share this knowledge. In the same way in which Maharaj is taking so much of his time to come here, he's going sometimes to Kuwait, sometimes to Bahrain, sometimes here, and he's risking his life in so many different ways. And he's sharing with you his precious time. He could be doing so many things for the BBT. He has disciples, so many things. So he's sharing. So this is what it's about. This is what Krishna consciousness is about, sharing that Krishna prem, that love of God. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj was saying before, I've also distributed these sheets of paper for all of you. I request you to jot down questions and reach for the next 15 minutes or so. We can have some question answer session with Maharaj.
Why is tea and coffee banned from drinking, since tea and coffee comes from a natural plant? Well, arsenic comes from a natural plant too, doesn't it? Cocaine comes from a natural plant, marijuana comes from a natural plant. Because it comes from a plant, it's good. There's so many things that come from the plant kingdom which are poisonous. So this coffee and tea are actually poisonous. They're not good for the physical system. And they're particularly banned because they're intoxicants. Coffee and tea have caffeine, which is a simple intoxicating chemical. And we're already intoxicated by being in this material world. So there's no need of further intoxication. If you're thirsty, you can drink coconut water, you can drink so many other things. We don't need coffee or tea. It doesn't help us. In the purport of Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham Sarvasya Prabhuvo, it is stated that Lord Narayan is the expansion of Krishna. And again it's mentioned that Lord Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada always said in his lectures and books that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how is the statement correct? Supreme Personality of Godhead means Bhagavan. Bhagavan means God. So that Bhagavan is Advaitam. Advaitam Achyutam Anadi Anantarupam. He's one, but he has innumerable forms. Just like Vishnu, Narayan, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma, Matsya, Vamandev, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are so many forms of Bhagavan. Not that every god is Bhagavan. Or the Supreme Personality. Even sometimes Lord Shiva is called Bhagavan. But the Bhagavat Tattva or Vishnu Tattva is one. Vishnu is one. He appears divided. It appears that there are separate persons called Narayan, Vamandev, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma, Krishna, Balaram. Actually, these are all one person. Because Eka Brahma Dvitiya Nasti. There's only one Supreme Absolute Truth, not two. There's God is one without a second. But God has the facility of being able to appear in many different forms at the same time. The yogis can do that. They can appear in several forms at once. There's accounts how they sometimes expand themselves. Or even the ordinary entertainers expand themselves into many different forms on television. You know, somebody's watching Amitabh Bachchan on television, and in the next apartment someone else is seeing the same Amitabh Bachchan. So you can see he's in everyone's house. But in everyone's house, he's always doing the same thing. He's shooting the same gun in all the houses or whatever he's doing. So he's limited. But Krishna can expand himself in limitless forms at the same time. And those limitless forms can appear, he has different ways of appearing. Sometimes the forms are all identical. When Krishna wanted to dance with the gopis, then for so many gopis, each gopi had Krishna standing next to her, because Krishna expanded into identical forms. No one could see this Krishna or that Krishna. They're all identical. When Krishna wanted to marry 16,000 queens, he expanded into 16,000 Krishnas, all identical. Or sometimes Krishna expands into a form a little bit different. The Balaram is really Krishna, but little different. Krishna is black, Balaram's white, but they're actually the same person, expanded into two for further enjoyment. Similarly, when Krishna wants to create the material world, he expands into the Vishnu feature. Karanadakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu. Actually, these are all Krishna, but appearing in a different role. Sometimes he appears as a dwarf, sometimes he appears as a fish, but he's the same person, just appearing differently. But sometimes he appears with partially showing his features, sometimes still greater display, sometimes 80%, 90%, sometimes ultimately 100%. So the 100% manifestation is Krishna. And all the other expansions are 94%, 98%, some percentage. But you don't see the full. Why is Krishna full? One reason is because he has qualities that you don't see anywhere in any other form of God. Particularly these informal relationships. Everyone is worshipping Lord Narayan with great awe and reverence. But higher than the awe and reverence is the kind of informal loving dealings we find in Vrindavan. There, the love has overcome the formalities and the reverence. The coward boys don't give a damn about Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're climbing on his shoulders, they're stealing his lunch. Can you imagine? What is this? Stealing God's lunch from him? And they're not worried that they're going to be punished by Yamaraj or that they're committing any aparads. They don't even care that he's God, or they don't even believe that he's God. They think maybe he's so wonderful he might be one of the demigods. That's as far as it can go. So that kind of intimate love is only shown with Krishna, not in any other form. Apart from that, Krishna is the origin of all other expansions. Aham sarvasya bhuta. I'm the origin of everything. Because Krishna is the original, Krishna Swayam Samabhava Paramam Humanyo Govindam Adi Purusha. He is the original form. But all the other forms are also Krishna. Want to take a question? Maybe like this one.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, how to chant consistently in the mood of Trinidad Venus and Chennai? Give me some technique.
Very good question. So, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord has some guidelines which are very, very important. And one of the most important things that we should learn about chanting Hare Krishna mantra is, because the mantra is so potent and it is the most powerful mantra for this age that is recommended, we have to be very careful to either not commit Vaishnava aparadha, especially
to blaspheme those that have dedicated their lives to spreading the holy name of the Lord. This is very, very important. If you want to become humble and understand what it means to consistently chant the holy name of the Lord throughout your entire life without any problems, then we should be very mindful of this one regulation. There are many cases where I've seen very advanced older devotees who are not very mindful of this rule, and they become to the point where they criticize unduly, or they become too close and intimate with the God brothers, or even to the point of being too close to Srila Prabhupada, that they thought that Srila Prabhupada was an ordinary man. And rather, it was better to serve Srila Prabhupada in separation and think that here I am a big secretary, a big servant, or a powerful leader, and then think that Srila Prabhupada was an ordinary man, and then commit some offense. So this offensive thing is quite subtle. It's not always going to be gross. So here I can see many humble devotees, so many humble devotees with the right frame of mind. But the subtleties sometimes can enter and destroy our way of thinking. She'll be very mindful of how we talk about devotees, even though for myself I'm not very qualified, and I'm trying to follow in the footsteps of my God brothers as much as possible. But I know that being too critical can destroy your spiritual creeper. It can destroy your chanting in particular. And that's what, you know, we've been given the Maha Mantra by Srila Prabhupada, I'm a pure devotee of the Lord, for a reason. And these are the things which keep us year after year on the road back home to Godhead. So just be very mindful of that one thing.
If all the great warriors at Kurukshetra are going into the mouth of Krishna's universal form, Kala is also swallowing everyone every second. So can we say that Krishna is Kala also? Yes. Krishna says, Kalosmi lokakshaya krit prabidho. When Arjuna asked, what is this form I'm seeing? Krishna said, this is me in the form of time, Kala. Kala lokakshaya krit prabidho. It destroys everything that we discussed. So yes, identical. Which is greater, service to Lord? Which is greatest service to the Lord, bhakti or seva? Bhakti and seva are the same thing. Bhakti and seva, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, bhakti ruchate. Bhakti means seva, and seva means bhakti, to serve Krishna. Bhakti doesn't just mean, a very important point, that bhakti doesn't just mean how you're feeling. Sometimes it's taken that bhakti is a kind of feeling, a kind of sentiment, it's how what's in your heart, and that's part of it. But bhakti is not just sentiment, it's a program of practical activities. Bhakti means practical activity, not just feeling something. Love. Love doesn't mean just how you feel, it means what you do. Suppose, I've given the example, you come home from work and you're ready for dinner. You ask your wife, is dinner ready?
She says, I love you so much. That's lovely, but you know. So love means activity. When we love someone, then we want to serve that person, not just sentiment. So the eternal function of the living being is to serve Krishna with love. So bhakti means seva. It's not just a kind of sentiment. Arjuna being given eyes to see the universal form seems to indicate that the universal form is higher. Please explain divine eyes. That's interesting. Krishna form is seeable. Actually, it's seeable by yoga maya, by Krishna's spiritual. Actually, you can't see Krishna with material eyes either. Those who saw Krishna with material eyes saw, but they didn't see. Kamsa, he saw Krishna, but he couldn't see that here's the Supreme Personality of God. He just saw, here's my enemy. Because he didn't have eyes of knowledge or eyes of devotion. For example, we may see the king, and he may look like any other citizen. But when we're informed, oh, this is the king, when we have knowledge, then we see. Without knowledge, we don't see. We see, but we don't see. But the universal form is difficult to see under any circumstances. That form is Krishna, by his own arrangement, appears as Krishna, a form that's in one place, seeable, appears like one of us, we can deal with him. But the universal form is overwhelming. How can you possibly see everything in one place? Actually, that everything in one place is one feature of Krishna. When you're seeing Krishna, you're seeing more than everything in one place. But just to illustrate how he's everything, how he's pervading the universe, Krishna showed, yes, I have the universal form. Just as by some there are different things you can see. For example, you can see the inside of a person on, what do they have, that X-rays, or there's in real time also. I forget what all these things are called. What is, not CT scan, but there's a different kinds of scans by you which you can see in real time what's going on inside of the body. They'll insert what is that? Those
endoscopy and all that.
Endoscopy and these things, and they look inside the body, and you're seeing right there on the screen, here's the large intestine, here's the small intestine, here's the lungs, here's this, here's that. You need special vision for that. To see how the mechanics are working, you need special vision. You need to have all this fancy equipment so that you can see what's going on. Otherwise, normal vision, you just see the person, how he's looking nice, how everything is going on. But to see this kind of unusual thing, how all the body parts are working, you need to have special gear. So Krishna, that same personality of Godhead, who's on the chariot with Arjuna, is also pervading everything. He's also, within him are all the different incarnations, all the demigods, all the living entities, all of the material elements. Everything is there within Krishna. But to see that, some special arrangement needs to be made. So Krishna said to Arjuna, all right, I'll make a special arrangement so that you can see all of these things. But otherwise, at the end, Arjuna was satisfied. No, all of these things are in you. I don't need to see such. Just as we have our wife or our children or our husband, so we don't mind, for a few minutes if we happen to see them on the screen, with their, this is their intestines and this is their this and that. But we wouldn't want it to be permanently like that. That's not the kind of vision that we'd like to have all the time, seeing their big intestine and their small intestine and their... It gets in the way of the relationship. It changes from maybe conjugal to ghastly or from parental to ghastly. So Arjuna also said that now I'm seeing you this way, but I want to see you in the friendly relationship. So please put things back to normal. Want to take one?
How to know who we are. So good question. How to know who we are. So this is the science of self-realization. And Atato Brahma Jignasa. Srila Prabhupada stated that this is the science of the soul. This is the beginning and the fundamental of all spiritual knowledge. One time in America, I remember in the 70s, we were traveling in the state of Kansas. And we went to a place called Kansas City. Normally, we didn't normally go through that way. I mean, we used to travel all over America. And I specifically remember the teachers approached us on the street when we were distributing books. And they said, please, we've looked at your books, we've purchased them, we've seen you here day after day distributing these books, and would you please come to our high school? This was like 1974, 75, something like this. So we went to this high school, and it was so deranged and so disorientated. But somehow or another, we had an assembly like this of all the students, and the teachers couldn't believe how everybody became peaceful and calm when we were there. And we just had a kirtan and a program. And from dysfunctional behavior, even those students, because it was a change in their curriculum, they listened to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada in the form of the science of self-realization, because this is what it was all about. So we were teaching like that. And we got up on a platform and we were explaining that first you have to realize who we are. What is our duty? What is the nature of who we are? We're spirit souls. To understand what is the duty of a spirit soul. So like that, then everybody became totally intrigued with the talk. And the students were totally calmed down, because without giving this information, without understanding this knowledge, then we're always going to be at a loss. We're always going to be struggling in the material world and misidentifying with the body, with the mind, and the senses. So this is the real purpose of education, to give people this understanding. The basis of Bhagavad Gita is chapter 2, the science of the soul. And without this, we're totally at a loss. And everybody's thinking, I'm Arabic, I'm Hindu, I'm American, I'm African. All these different bodily concepts of life, they're going to get us into a dead-end situation. So when we understand the nature of the spirit soul, and what is the duty of the spirit soul, to serve Krishna under the guidance of spiritual master, then that's the only path of true happiness. And as Prabhupada said, that we should become spiritual teachers, like Brahmins. We should advise people who are in authority, like Kshatriyas, how to organize things properly in their country. Because without this spiritual knowledge, then it's a headless society. And then, without a head, how can the body function properly? So as spiritual teachers, as Brahmins, our interjection on that level is very, very important. Very, very important. That they understand what is to be done, what we are, who we are. And without that, no country will be a peaceful country, no country will be a successful country. But the moment that they take advice from us, then they will be successful.
Why was Arjuna the only person who got divine eyes? What about Sanjay or Yashoda? Actually, Sanjay was also able to see the universal form. That's mentioned in the end, in the 18th chapter, by the grace of Vyasdev. By the grace of Vyasdev, his spiritual master, Sanjay was able to see everything that happened on the battlefield. He also could see the universal form. And Yashoda once also saw Krishna. There was some incident that Krishna was, a complaint was lodged by his friends that Krishna's eating dirt. So they brought this to his mother, Krishna's eating dirt, Krishna's eating dirt. So Krishna, your friends say, no, it's not true, they're just, we had some disagreement, so they're trying to get me in trouble. No, open your mouth, let me see. So she looked in, she saw all the planets, all of the living entities, all the material elements, the sun, the moon, everything. So she saw, again, the whole universal form. And she was bewildered. What am I seeing here? What is this? And then, by Krishna's, the arrangement of Krishna's spiritual potency, she thought, hey, what is this nonsense? Krishna, you close your mouth and you don't eat these things again. On going to the higher planets, higher planetary systems, does the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, is it there, or is there some higher knowledge or pastime of the Lord? Bhagavatam is also there. Bhagavad Gita, imam vivasvate yogam proktavanaham abhiyam. Krishna says, I spoke this Bhagavad Gita to the sun god on the higher planets. So it's there, and Bhagavatam is also there, but Srila Prabhupada mentions that here we have only, what, maybe 30 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. There they have more volumes. They have a longer lifespan, they have greater capability, so they have more volumes. But it's the same. You can't come to the end of Krishna's pastimes. Anadi madhyantam anantaviryam. There's no beginning, middle, or end. So the demigods are also relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Is there a particular reason that the instructions of the Gita were given to Arjuna and not to any of the Lord's devotees? Arjuna is a devotee. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam ye taruttama. Krishna tells Arjuna, I'm speaking to you this Bhagavad Gita because you're my devotee. If you weren't my devotee, I wouldn't speak. There's other people, great sages, Brahmins, sannyasis. And you're a kshatriya, not a Brahmin, you're a householder, not a sannyasi. But I'll speak this to you, bhaktosi, because you're my devotee. That's the qualification for understanding Bhagavad Gita. And last question. Whether general life is separate from spiritual life, and if not so, how to implement the spiritual knowledge in the daily routine life? Yes, general life is separate from spiritual life. That's the problem. That we have our general life, and then sometimes our general life is all there is, there's no spiritual life. Or we have our general life, and then for maybe an hour or two someplace, in a week or in a month, maybe one day a year on Janmashtami, we have a spiritual life. So this is the problem. And the real thing is to eradicate this difference, to spiritualize our entire life, so that our working life, our family life, our every aspect of our life becomes spiritual. That's possible by reestablishing the connection. Our general life is general because it's disconnected from Krishna. And our spiritual life is spiritual because it's connected. So when we connect everything, our family life, our working life, our every aspect of our life with Krishna, then our whole life becomes spiritual. And bhakti yoga, as taught by Srila Prabhupada, is the method for doing that, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam. So let us all take advantage of this great science and chant Hare Krishna and make our whole life spiritual. Thank you all very much.